ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
We want more Australian faces on our screens, but are we doing enough to nurture the next generation of talent? The federal government's pushing local content quotas, forcing big streaming platforms to invest in Aussie-made shows. But as Year 12 students sit down for their final exams, fewer of them are choosing creative arts subjects like drama, music, dance, and visual arts. And honestly, you can't really blame them because for years it's been all about STEM. An arts degree now costs close to $55,000, and that's if you can even find the course, because many universities are cutting their creative programs. So are we really supporting the next wave of artists, musicians, and performers? And what do we lose as a country and a culture if we don't? With me is Dr. John Nicholas Saunders, a lecturer in education at the Australian Catholic University and chair of the National Advocates for Arts Education. John, welcome to Life Matters.
Thank you. So good to be here.
So you've been looking into creative arts education in high school. Can you break down for me what we're seeing in terms of numbers?
Yeah, it's bleak, unfortunately. my colleague Sandra Gattenhoff at QUT and I started looking into it, and we thought we knew what we were going to find. And we were putting this together for a journal article in the Australian Journal of Education later this year. And we looked at ATAR enrolments in Year 12 creative arts subjects across Australia. We looked at 2015 to 2023. So we're sort of comparing a couple of years before COVID and a couple of years after COVID. And what we found nationally was that there was a 25% decline nationally in those. But actually, when we sort of looked down at each state and within each subject, it was quite different. The ACT is the only jurisdiction that actually saw an increase. So they're our sort of outlier, and they have quite a different sort of high school system down there. New South Wales, Victoria, Tasmania and South Australia all dropped between 10 and 13%. Western Australia saw a decrease of 43%, and Queensland wins the prize for the biggest fall with a fall of 44.5%. So it is really kind of stark nationally. And then when we look at the subjects themselves, drama's down by 40% nationally, dance by 37%. Media arts by 25%, music by 17%, visual arts by 13%. And that's just ATAR art subjects in Year 12, not looking at what's happening in middle schools, what's happening in primary school. So we were really shocked by that data.
Do you have any sense, like, were you able to ask students, or do you have a sense of why people are choosing them less?
Yeah, we're looking in, that's phase two of our research project, and my colleague Sandra's just won a big ARC grant looking into this as well. But being teachers in schools, we know that there are several contributing factors, really. One of them, the big one that students keep talking about, is the scaling of subjects. So in Year 12, an ATAR subject is scaled up or down, depending on how the student performs, both in that subject and in other subjects. It's really complicated.
And in terms of their ranking?
Correct, yes. And so a subject, for example, dance in Queensland, if you got 100% in dance, it scales down to 80%. So it's a really big drop. And I couldn't possibly get 100% in dance. I don't think I could get 20% in dance. So it's a massive disincentive for students who pour their heart and soul into it, who are really high performers in that particular area. And the kind of assumption on the statistics is that, well, if students are performing well in that area, then it must be easy. And that's not the case. What we're seeing is because numbers are declining, fewer students are going into those areas.
And the ones who do are, like, the best.
The top performers, right? So therefore, you're only getting those students who are high performers. And so it sort of, mucks up the
almost penalised for being really, really good.
That's right. And there are other issues as well. Curriculum quality can be a big one as well. So we've seen in some jurisdictions and areas that the senior syllabus just really fails to engage students in learning. Big problems in music and drama in New South Wales, drama in Queensland been criticised, as well as teacher shortages. So we're seeing nationally teacher shortages, and the arts aren't immune from that. The data from AITSL is saying that between 24 and 34% of arts teachers are out of field. So they were trained in another area and then are teaching a highly specialised area. So that certainly impacts the quality of teaching and learning and their confidence in that area.
So one of the things we've heard a lot about in the last few, maybe the last decade or so, is STEM, science, technology, engineering and mathematics, which, I mean, I'm not going to be hating on STEM here. I'm literally a health and science reporter.
Yes.
but has perhaps the focus on STEM pulled away from the creative arts?
I'm not hating on STEM either. My family are all STEM people. We need more STEM people as well. I think it has pulled the focus away from the arts. And, you know, probably 10 years ago, we saw the chief scientist raising alarm bells like we're raising, that there are declines in participation in science and math subjects in senior secondary and in university. And as a result, then government sort of went, this is not okay and we need to do something. And so they pulled levers to invest in STEM education programs, encouraging students to go into those areas, which was good and needed, and it has worked. But what we do need now is those same levers to be pulled for the arts. And certainly STEM and the arts aren't in opposition to each other. They both complement each other. And we don't want, you know, we want well-rounded students. We want students to have a full, broad education where they can study the arts, they can study the sciences, they study what they really love doing and follow those paths, you know, hopefully post-school as well.
We want Renaissance students. Well, this is Life Matters on ABC Radio National. I'm Tegan Taylor, talking to Dr. John Nicholas Saunders, who's a lecturer in education at ACU and the chair of the National Advocates for Arts Education. One says, wow, my daughter and I chose to homeschool after the woeful attitude to the creative arts after her high school went full tilt into STEM. How about just nurture the child's interests? Well, Maria said, I studied journalism many years ago and only had to pay for my final year of uni. Now my daughter is studying law and human rights, 5 years and $100,000. It's gobsmacking, and that's without further study. So yeah, the cost of higher ed definitely playing a role here. Well, also with me is Mads Dyer, who's a writer-director with a background in acting. You might have watched
Hello.
Shows like Colin from Accounts, Ghost Australia and Austin Ooh. On the ABC. Mads, what a CV.
Yeah, oh, thank you. Yeah, I know. It's not too bad, is it? It's going all right.
You're like, who is that? What is it that first drew you to the arts? Did you sort of see this in your future when you were a little tiny teen?
Not as much. I grew up in Townsville, and that's a pretty big sports capital. I wasn't quite a sporty kid, nor were my siblings, but we were lucky enough to have a bit more extracurricular involvement in the community. So we grew up doing a lot of musicals, and I think it was that, actually, like when Harry and I got cast in Annie, we were these little orphans running around on stage performing to paying audiences, and we kind of just went, just as young kids, oh my God, we can actually do this and people aren't walking out. Maybe we can actually make something of this, you know?
Yeah, you can muck around and so people want to pay to see it.
Yeah, exactly.
So
that's right.
Your high school was a pretty important part of where you ended up taking your career then, is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, that's right. Like, so obviously we were doing the musicals and kind of, you know, having the, we were lucky enough to have, you know, support from our parents to kind of do the dance classes and the singing and all of that. But if we didn't go to a high school that had a really well-funded arts department, I don't know how we would have continued. And they, again, had a lot of money and time and effort going into putting on larger scale productions and having a lot of outreach into the community for, say, the music kids, like doing their big bands out at kind of, you know, local events and things like that. So it was because of the quality of education, I guess, in the high school years that allowed us to continue our belief that we could do it, you know.
So, John, we're hearing from Mads, who's obviously gone on to have a rollicking career in the arts, but that's not the case for everyone who goes, who chooses this. So how much work is there out there?
Yeah, there is a surprising amount of work, actually, within the creative arts. The creative arts employ around 200,000 people in Australia, so a really big employer. That's four times as many people that work in coal mining work in the creative arts. And we want more people to, you know, go into coal mining, but there are four times as many jobs in creative arts, both on stage and off stage. So it is a really big employer. We know that it's also, you know, contributes $67.4 billion to the Australian economy in 2023-2024. That's 2.5% of GDP, and that's a 6.6% increase, which means that it's a growing area, not a shrinking area. So there are more jobs in this field.
Mads, I feel like you're not allowed to say the word artist sometimes without saying the word struggling in front of it. What's the expectation versus reality been for you and your colleagues?
I think, again, through study and me going and doing my arts degree, my fine arts degree, I learned to be like multidisciplinary. And I think that's what John's also saying. It's like you can sustain a career in the arts and it will often be doing a lot of adjacent roles to maybe your dream role, but you're still contributing and being part of that community and paying your way, basically. So I do think that that's what's wonderful about study. It allows, you know, people to diversify their skill set and be able to monetize their work and think about it broadly from a commercial standpoint as well. So I do think there's a really flourishing, fruitful place we can all be as artists. But yeah, we do have to have a bit more nous around that, and that study affords us that.
It's really interesting perspectives coming through on the text line. Thank you so much for telling me your stories. One person says, most of my teachers had no interest in my creativity or arts. Only my music teacher, Mrs. Mack, supported me and changed my life. But a music teacher separately says, 100% true about the scaling. I am a music teacher and have found myself actively discouraging students from taking VCE music unless they desire a career in music. 2 to 3 hours a day practice is what's required at the highest level, and then to be scaled down so severely with the ATAR, it's just not worth it. John, have you grappled with that as a teacher and mentor as well?
Absolutely, yeah. And, you know, talking with teachers, I've just finished a research project where we're working with teachers and Year 12 students, and the students are going, you know, we've poured our heart and soul into this. We love it. This is, you know, what makes us come to school. It's where we found our groups of friends. It's where we've sort of got that identity and belonging and, you know, have performed really well. And it sort of is a kick in the guts to go, actually, you've performed really well, but we don't really value that. So we're going to knock that down for you. And the same from teachers. As that music teacher on the text just sort of said, we are hearing that from teachers who are really struggling, going, I fundamentally believe in the power of the art. They are transformative in the lives of children and young people. But I'm also working in a system where, you know, students are disadvantaged for taking the arts. And so there's a real tension there for arts teachers. Yeah.
This is Life Matters on ABC Radio National. I'm Tegan Taylor. I'm with Dr. John Nicholas Saunders and Mads Dyer, who's a writer-director with a background in acting. And we're talking about whether the arts needs the STEM treatment in terms of how it's promoted to students. Maybe is the cost of an arts education too high? Have we got the mix right with the arts? Well, we did approach the Education Minister, Jason Clare, and he issued a statement to us saying the government's investing an extra $6.7 billion over the next decade in higher education and has already implemented 31 of 47 recommendations in full or in part of the university's Accord Blueprint for Higher Education Reform, including changes to make HECS fairer, which was part of legislation to cut all student debt by 20%. So, John, I'm hearing in there a bit on the university cost side of things, but nothing specifically about creative arts.
No, and I think this is really interesting. The Job Ready Graduate Scheme, which saw those creative arts degrees, humanities, arts, social science degrees increase by 116% and have made them really unaffordable for young people and another deterrent to going on to study the arts, was introduced by the previous federal government and opposed by the current, you know, by the Federal Labor Party. But what we're seeing is that, you know, they've had recommendation after recommendation from their own reports, their own reviews. The university's Accord report that you just talked about, that Jason Clare just mentioned, you know, said that this urgently needed to be changed and addressed, that it was fundamentally unfair. And, you know, 4 years on, we're still waiting for this government to make those changes. And I know that there are things in the pipeline, but we really can't wait any longer. We've been looking at the number of courses that have been discontinued across Australia in the creative arts in universities, and Since 2018, we found 48 courses that are gone. There are more under review. TasTAFE has just lost subsidies from the Tasmanian government, which is going to increase the cost for those Creative Arts TAFE courses by 5,000%. You know, we're telling people not to go into the arts, yet we're hosting the Olympics and the Cultural Olympiad, you know, in a few years. And we also know that there's a skill shortage in the creative arts as well. The government's own reports are showing that there are a highly skilled workforce, highly educated workforce, and that we need more people coming into those fields. So there's a disconnect.
On the text line, one says, I'm a cardiologist who works on climate change and social policies that impact health. I'm preoccupied by our future. I have a Bachelor of Arts in Honours in International Relations before studying medicine. I think our human future needs science and imagination. Science helps us with many challenges, but imagination is key to a rapidly changing future. The creative arts are particularly important because we learn great skills in learning and practice, but also the humanity of creativity and connection, which are increasingly important in these complex times. Mads, what do we miss out on if we don't properly fund the arts?
That's exactly the right point there. It's the humanity. I think you're right. Like, I mean, in my field at least, it's like AI this, AI that. Oh no, we're going to have all of our jobs replaced. It's like, absolutely not. You know, it's the humanity that will always have that extra magic to what we do. And we get to hold that mirror up to ourselves and ourselves as a kind of community and collective and be able to reflect and also open dialogues that we normally can't do through art. And that's like, that's a human thing. That's just part of what it is. And it's a completely right point there from that text.
Mads, John, thank you both so much for joining me today. Dr. John Nicholas Saunders is a lecturer in education at the Australian Catholic University and the chair of the National Advocates for Arts Education. Mads Dyer is a writer, director with a background in acting. She's directed shows like Colin from Accounts, Ghosts Australia and Austin on the ABC.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.